have your Bibles, why don't we open to Joshua chapter 13. I don't remember, I got my children to me. One of the things that I think our culture has done inadvertently, but the church has adopted it, is very much we've become spectators in most everything we do. What I mean by that is, well, let me take a survey. How many of you are going to watch a football game tonight? Right? Some of you will watch football games. How many of you refer to your favorite team as my team? How many of you say, when they win, we won? And you had nothing to do with it. We become a very spectator society, haven't we? Where we watch our, and there's nothing wrong with watching football or baseball or anything like that. I don't know why there is. But it's, I think there's a direct correlation of the fact that we've become more spectator-oriented in our thinking than participatory. You know what I mean by that? And active, just by the very nature that America has a weight problem, don't we? We have a weight problem. Some of us have a height problem. We're too short for our weight, right? But this whole idea of being a spectator has creeped into the churches to the point where, you know, people who come to church, even in evangelical church, we come almost as spectators, and that's not a good thing. You know, we want to see what's here for us. You know, what are you going to do for us? And that's a whole dangerous mentality. Listen to what I'm going to say. The moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, you are automatically in the big leagues. You're automatically in the big leagues. Whether you like it or not, you are on the front lines. And you enter into spiritual warfare. Whether you like it or not, that's the simple truth. And the reason for that is because the devil doesn't want you to be effective for the kingdom of God. So he's gonna be fighting you. He's the one that's gonna come in with his helmet down to hit you in the gut. And we just don't grasp this sometimes. And what we have done in our country is we almost inadvertently relegate everything to the professional. The professional football player. The professional baseball player. Yeah, you look at minor league games. Minor league games, you get a minor league game for $8, right? How much does the question go to a major league game?
$3,000.
Yeah. It's a lot of money. Right? And yet we're willing to invest in it just to be spectators. To say we were there. Okay? The question I have to raise this morning is how much are we willing to invest in the kingdom? Will we believe? I'm not talking about money. You realize you can be even passive with money. When it's a call for missionaries, it can be easier to write a check and put it in the plate for the missionaries than to go out yourself. Correct? When we call for people to go to the hotels, it's easier to write out the check and put it in the plate than for you to come. And I realize people get busy and all. I realize that, however, I think we become in danger of becoming too passive even within the church. And so, we come with a mentality that we want to be entertained. I'm speaking generally, or we come with the mentality of what programs are good for us, or whatever it is. But my understanding of the Bible is that when we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be in the game. You know what I mean by that? They're not supposed to sit on the sidelines. And you might say to me, well, what kind of person does God use for his kingdom work? And I want to say to you, he uses anyone who makes him or herself available. Anyone. Let me give you some examples. There was a shoe salesman who was a Sunday school teacher who led Billy Graham to the Lord. A shoe salesman. It happened to be a Sunday school teacher. Talk about being in the game. It was a baseball player who became one of the greatest evangelists back in the early 1900s, and his name was Billy Sunday. He went from the pros to the real pros. He was out preaching his heart out and seeing people come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There was a woman who was in Robert Cook's church, Dr. Robert Cook. Some of you may have known him or know of him. He's with the Lord now. But she had Meniere's disease. You know what Meniere's disease is? Meniere's disease is unceasing vertigo. Okay? And she could not get out of bed. And she called Dr. Cook one morning and she said to Dr. Cook, I feel useless. And Dr. Cook started laughing a little bit. She says, why are you laughing? I can't get out of this bed. I feel like I can't do anything for the church. And he says to her, do you realize anyone who has a prayer request and has a major need comes over here and asks you to pray? And those prayers get answered. He says, do you realize that your ministry from this bed is to pray for you? She's in the game. Even though she was confined to a bed. And then there was some ragtag, hard, vulgar fishermen. Peter, John, Andrew, who ended up becoming the disciples of Jesus Christ. And there was a corrupt tax collector by the name of Levi, who became Matthew, became one of the disciples. There was a woman of bad reputation in the community. She had three marriages. She lived with two guys. She met this Jesus at the well one day. And Jesus says, I am the one who's going to die for your sin. And this woman goes back to her village and tells the people, everybody she meets, that she met this prophet, that they should go out and see him. They go out to see him, and they all come to Christ. And when the woman talks to them again, they said, we didn't come because of what you said to us. We came because we saw for ourselves. God can use a woman at the well who had a bad reputation. God can use any young man or young woman who will make themselves available. God could also use any older men and women who will make themselves available. We have a mistaken notion that even permeates the church that when you become retirement age, that you can do absolutely nothing. And that filters into the church, by the way. You know, you become retirement age, I paid my dues, let somebody else pick it up now. But you realize the Bible knows nothing of retirement? It knows nothing of retiring from the kingdom of God. And so, I want to look at a couple of things with you here this morning and urge you not to just be spectators, but urge you to seek what God has for you The first thing I want to talk to you about comes from chapter 13, verse 1. And I'm going to skim these for you, because don't get nervous, we're not going to do two chapters. Look at this. It says, when Joshua had grown old. Notice that? Old. Anybody here not going to grow old? If you're not, let me know your secret, because I'm there already, okay? When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old, and there still are large, very large areas of land to be taken. No matter what our age, no matter when, there's still work to do for the kingdom of God, isn't there? And having said that, you would say, well, how do I know what to do? Well, we need to seek his will and see what God is doing and enter into that. One of the largest groups of missionaries that are sent out from the United States these days are people who have retired. People for whom God has laid on their hearts to go to a country and to minister in whatever way God's gifted them, whether it's medical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's taking a hammer and nails and building stuff, whatever way it is, if you make yourself available to God, he's going to open up a way. I want to read you a quote from Warren Wiersbe. Excuse me. And this is a quote that I think would be all of us, it would behoove all of us to really listen to. It says, the will of God is the expression of the love of God. Catch that? The will of God is the expression of the love of God. It goes on. And it is always best for us. And so, as we seek what God wants for us in our lives, well, how do we do that? We need to be in the Word constantly. We need to be in communication with Him, prayer, listening to Him, talking to Him, and then listening further. We need to see the doors of opportunity that God might open up for us to serve Him, to get in the game. Because when we see God working and we enter into what He's already doing, then really it's a no-brainer. Just go with the flow to what God's doing. And so, if I can put it this way, loving obedience helps us realize the blessing of our inheritance. Isn't that what this verse says? This verse says to Joshua, even though you're very old, Joshua, there's still a lot of land out there that you inherited, you just need to go get it. And I believe God says to us that even though we may be advancing in years, there's still a lot to be done for the kingdom. There's a lot of harvest out there where if we enter into that, we can have a part the same people come to know Christ. The other thing I want to suggest to you is this. I really don't know how to put this down. I wrestle with it, and I say, okay, Lord, I want to be as kind as I can, because we've all been guilty of it. But sometimes, when we're not walking right with God, when our relationship is not right with God, when there's unconfessed sin in our lives, when we are rebelling in whatever way we're rebelling, it doesn't have to be a big rebellion. It's those little things. You know, we stop coming to church. We're not reading the scriptures. We're not praying like we should. We're not worshiping like we should. We can't be followers of Christ and be on the fence and still realize the blessings that God has for us. We can't do it. I want you to look with me at verses 8 to 14 here real quick. Listen to this carefully. And the reason why I'm not going through these two chapters verbatim is because you'll be here going, oh, I don't want to do that. But it says, the other half of Manasseh, which is the tribe of Israel, and the Reubenites, and the Gadites had received their inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned to them. It extended from the Ararat on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge, including the whole plateau of Medeba, okay, as far as Dibion. Aren't you glad you're not reading this? Listen to this. In all the towns of Shion, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon and out of the Amorite, border of the Amorites. It also included, It also included Gilgal, the territory of the people of Geshur and Makkah, and all of Mount Hermon, and all Bashan as far as that name. And that is the whole kingdom of Og in Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth of Edrei. He was the last of their Raphites. Moses defeated them and had taken over the land. Now, I won't finish this out, but here's what is being described to you. These three and a half tribes served as a buffer, but really between the Gentiles, the heathens, the pagans, and the rest of Israel. The problem with that is this. If you are not careful, and you start to develop close associations with people who don't believe as you believe, some of that can rub off on you. We don't like to think that, and this is not an advertisement that we should isolate ourselves or live in a mosque. But this is to say that if we're not careful and we're not doing the things that we need to be doing, being in the Word, having communion with God, worshiping, hearing from God, and we start to associate with other people who don't believe in God, who practice some, quite honestly, abominable things, we could be drawn into that. And then we get to the mentality that we want to live in both worlds. We try to keep our one foot over in the kingdom of God and the other foot in the world. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't know what I'm talking about. And I've used this analogy many times. It's one I've experienced personally, and I think it's good. When we as followers of Christ try to do that, it's like trying to get into a boat from a dock that is not tied to the dock. You have one foot on the dock, you put one foot in the boat, guess which way the boat's going to go? Out. Guess which way you're going to go? Down. You're going to go down. We think we can play with this and get away with it. We can't. We can't be on the fence and be effective for the kingdom of God. That's just as damaging as being spectators. Jesus in Revelation put it this way to the church of Laodicea. He said, "You are neither hot nor cold." And he says, "I wish you were either one, because I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth." Harsh words. Harsh words. We can't be on the fence. We need to see God's will. Another way of saying this is we need to be all in with God. We have to make up our minds every single day, you and I, that we need to be all in on God, with God. The second thing I want to encourage you with is let God encourage us on our journeys. Life is a journey. Yes? Now, I have to admit, put me in a car for a long ride, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm worse than a kid. Are you there yet? Yeah. Put me in a plane, I'll enjoy the journey. But put me in a car, I'd rather be in a plane, waking up when I'm there. But life is a journey. God is more interested in our journey than he is in us being perfect, or he is in us doing great things, because usually when we try to do great things on our own and ignore his will, they fail at that. They'll fail at that. But he's interested in our journey. Let me bring in chapter 14. I want to introduce you to one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And he happens to be the same name as my grandson, Caleb. Caleb was one of the two original spies, right? Who went and spied out the land. Caleb and Joshua were the ones who gave a report, an accurate report, to Moses and the Israelites, say, look, you know, these guys in the land, they're big, they're giants. But we have to trust God and go in. We have to be proactive. We have to be in the game. We need to obey God and go in because God promised his land to us. They were overridden. But Joshua, Caleb, 40 years later, 80 years old now. When I'm preparing this, I was going to do something, but I figured I would. And here's why. I was going to make a list of all the complaints I heard during the week of all the people, and decided that I better not, because I have to put my own. 80 years old. Listen to Caleb. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God. How?
Wholeheartedly.
Say that together.
Wholeheartedly.
You know what that means? He was all in. He was all in. He didn't keep one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. He was all in. He wasn't riding a fence. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God. How? He had to wait 40 years to realize his inheritance, but he never stopped serving the Lord. Wholeheartedly. You know, we talk a lot about legacy. You know, when somebody passes on. I did a memorial service this past Friday for Frank Clancy, who is a custodian of the Mason School System. His son comes to our men's group on Tuesday nights. And, you know, whenever I do a funeral or memorial service, I always think of legacy. And when we think of legacy, a lot of times we think we're going to leave our kids either in property or money and all of that. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But I want to suggest to you our true legacy, that we can leave the next generation, is the example of our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I really think that's the most valuable legacy that we can leave. So that when they look back on our lives, they don't see somebody who is perfect, but they see somebody who is in the game. Somebody who God used even with all our flaws and faults. Someone who God used in some great ways, even through the tough times and the good times. But somebody who didn't give up on the journey. We don't like waiting 40 seconds for anything, let alone 40 years. Give up better day one. Caleb was encouraged by the promises of God. That's what kept him going. Gloria, you know, gave testimony before about how she was sustained by the prayers of God's people. Listen, in the journey, the promises of God never change. You understand that? They never change. The promise how God is going to be with us and never forsake us. That never changed. Jesus said that, right? The promise that when we are weak, who is strong? He is strong. Well, we can bank on the promises of God as we go through the journey, and we can let the promises of God encourage us along the way. When you go through a rough stretch, you have a low self-worth, a low self-esteem on a particular day. Guess where you need to go? You need to go back to the scriptures and hear how much God loves you. And hear how much He loves you and paid for your sin with the blood of His Son. To hear how much He loves you, so much so that you may be living in a house right now that's not so good, not your ideal house, but come the time He called you home, you have a mansion waiting for you. Peter puts it a different way. I'm going to read you from 1 Peter 3 to 6. It says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. In His great mercy, He has given us what? New birth. Into what? A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. And into, and what's the word? Inheritance. That can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for us where? In heaven. For who? Us. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. So now for a little while you may have had to what? Suffer? Grief in all kinds of trials. I have to laugh sometimes because, you know, Joey is the guru here in, you know, Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey, and I would affirm this, that we need to plan for the future. We need to invest. We need to manage wealth. And there's nothing wrong with it. Okay? Part of that management is making sure that your money is insured in the banks, right? FDIC, I think they used to call it one time. They insure it up to $500,000 now. This great inheritance that God has for every Christ follower doesn't need any insurance because God Himself is guarding it for us. That's pretty neat. But nothing is going to take that away. I'll bring it real quick to 1 John. That's good. 1 John? Can you help me out there? Okay. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 2. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called who? For Christ's followers that never changes. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know Him." Keep going. Is that it? Okay. "Dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, when He comes back again, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And all who have hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." The promises of God. The last thing I want to share with you today is that spiritual retirement is not in God's plan. I realize as we get older, our bones creak, When we sit down and get up, we make noises we didn't make before. I realize that you can get up out of your recliner, go into the kitchen, and forget why you went. And then when you get back to the recliner, you sit, you remember. It shows you where your brains are. You didn't get that, did you? I hate that when it happens. It happens to me all the time. We don't have the energy level that we used to have. But even with that, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. God will use us with all our faults and all our affections if we just make ourselves available. And we are willing to continue to do it. Listen to me. You get a godly man or woman with years of faithfully walking with Jesus Christ, the wisdom they bring is incredible. Our culture is fast approaching a point, I'm afraid to say, of the valuing of old people. There's two discriminations left in this world, even though political powers would say it's impossible, but it's true. One is age, and the other one is weight. Is that true? Okay? In the kingdom of God, there is no discrimination. Age is looked on as an asset because of the wisdom of years. Age is looked on as an asset because people with that wisdom can come alongside of younger people and mentor them. Come alongside and encourage them in their walk. Come alongside and tell them not to give up when they feel like giving up. Lift the burden from them for a bit. Age can be an asset. On the other end of this, if you think you're too young, forget about it. If you're not too young. One of the youngest pastors that we have recorded in the Bible is Timothy. And Timothy was made pastor of a church, and most people in that church were older than him. You know what happened after a short time? They started giving him a hard time. What does this young guy know? What they forgot was this, that this young guy was anointed with the Spirit of God and called by the Spirit of God to do what he was going to do, to the point where Paul wrote him and said, Timothy, don't worry about your age. Just be faithful to the call that God has put on your mind. Loving obedience leaves a legacy far greater than just money for the next generation. Jared touched on this a little bit this morning. You know, we were going through the tenets of Christian faith. And My concern, I'll speak for me. My concern on November 15, 2015, is not so much what's going to happen to me. I'm on the downslope. My concern is what's going to happen to our children and our children's children. And the mess that they are going to carry. It could have been any one of us or any one of our children or their parents. If we don't leave a legacy of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ for our kids, we will. Did you know who's going to be knocking at their door? ISIS. Islam. This is going to be nothing. It's time not to be spectators. It's time to get in the game. It's time to seek out what God's will is for our life and walk in His faith and His power. So who can God use? Ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I'm going to ask you to watch this video and ask Bill to come up with a few songs.